The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. The Gospel of the Lord. So tonight is the night that many of you will actually receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I think that is it's a relatively easy concept to think about without actually realizing the reality of this and the immensity of this. Why does this matter? Because the presence of God is always real. We think about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, don't we? It's the same way with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. Whenever we receive God, we receive the fullness of God. What is happening here tonight is more than an upgrade. It's not something to correct some kind of error. What is happening tonight is something entirely new. The fact that you are here tonight is the result of an infinite series of miracles over thousands of years, only the most recent being your parents' decisions and your decisions to be here. Tonight is a night to honor this truth. There is a whole lot of history, even pertaining to us, that we haven't even considered or imagined. I have several examples of how reality can be surprising. I have several pieces of petrified wood. Do you know what that is? Two rather large pieces. One looks like a fireplace log. One is actually part of a trunk of a tree. You can still see the bark. But it has become stone. When I was on vacation with my family in 1968, I was 7 years old. And we went to South Dakota and to Wyoming and to Colorado. And while we were in Wyoming, we came across this field. We found out later that it was a national forest called Petrified Forest, right? Petrified National Forest. But there were no fences or anything, and just littered all over the ground were these what looked like pieces of wood. So I don't think my dad was one person who would ever steal, but there seemed to be an awful lot of it laying around. So we loaded the back end of the station wagon with these petrified logs. One of them weighs about 400 pounds. This petrified forest was the result of a tree that fell in the late Triassic period, 255 million years ago. God's creation is amazing. The Grand Canyon has taken 70 million years to form, and it's just over 6,000 feet deep. It has developed at a rate of 1/250th of an inch each year. It's clearly a masterpiece done in God's time, not ours. It is done at a rate that would be unnoticeable in a lifetime or even a century. None of it is random, yet from our perspective, it might look unpredictable. It reveals a divine will that wants you in this pew with your family and sponsor today, as much as we are able to grasp the mystery that we are here to celebrate. The Holy Spirit enters within us today so that we might go out and share our new discovery of the love that has always been. I have a story about my brother John. He studied particle physics, went to Purdue to get his advanced degree in particle physics, and it was there that his vocation came. While he realized the complexity of being, this is the story he tells. You all are probably acquainted with atoms, right? Atoms are what make up molecules. Atoms are composed of protons and neutrons and electrons. Protons and neutrons are composed of quarks, down quarks, leptons, and various neutrinos. These particles have no substructure. We don't know if there is anything smaller, because these themselves are unmeasurable, a millimeter divided by 1,000 billion in size. But here's why my brother realized the truth of God. At the level of the smallest particles, he says, everything is truly random, which then develops out of what is clearly an intelligent design that can be only made by God. My brother became a priest because he realized that the more he knew, there was always increasingly more that he didn't know as a scientist. It was in the beginning that the Holy Spirit breathed on the waters and creation began. The ultimate creation is humanity, perhaps 2.5 million years in the making, which is represented by that sixth day in the book of Genesis. But even the evolutionary process of God's creation is not random. God's intention from the beginning was to create you. I want us to go even further, though. One of my teachers in seminary, Monsignor Heron, used to say this. He says, even if my brain is somehow the result of a chance meeting of two single-celled organisms in the primordial ooze, how are you going to explain Beethoven? So we begin with all that is good about God's creation, what is physical and spiritual. Besides flesh and bone, we are human beings because we have three very special attributes that are in how we're made in God's image: the intellect, the memory, and the free will. You were made in God's image with these powers and the virtues that fuel them, virtues that are natural to our human nature: justice, temperance, fortitude, and prudence. These are called the natural virtues, or the cardinal virtues. Here at St. Bernadette, we say, go Cardinals. Well, humanity then is charged with Christ in the incarnation. What was only human is now human and divine. We enter that family in baptism, and we are given the mind of Christ in faith, hope, and love. We learn to believe despite doubts, but that's not natural. We learn to hope in the midst of difficulty. That's not natural. We learn to love even our enemies. That's not natural. It is a new way of looking at what always has been, looking through the eyes of Christ to see what is, the supernatural virtues. I was going to skip this next story, but I think I'm going to do it anyway because it's interesting. A friend of mine moved to Vero Beach in Florida some years back and told me to check out something that she had discovered. It was one of the greatest archaeological discoveries in the United States. They found the remains of 168 people in a peat bog. They were mostly skeletons, but because of the peat, some of the tissue was still intact. They were radiocarbon dated between 6990 and 8120 BC. That's 3,500 years before the pyramids. A community that was apparently loving and caring, because the skeletons showed proof that there were elderly people who had lived throughout their lives with disabilities. The children were all very lovingly buried, sometimes with toys in their arms. The DNA shows that they were not any part of any other Native American tribes. Buried with them are arrowheads made from a stone that is only found at the bottom of the English Channel, a land bridge apparently that existed between England and continental Europe at the time of their ancient migration, whenever that was. Their DNA is European. So this is dated to 8,000 years BC in Florida. An archaeologist was asked why this hasn't been why this hasn't been made known. He said it was not likely that people would know the truth, because history as we know it would have to be completely rewritten. All the history books in the world would have to be changed. This discovery occurred nearly 40 years ago. I want to say the Holy Spirit is something like this. It isn't that history needs to be rewritten. It needs to be revealed that we didn't know everything to start with. It isn't that we need to be rewritten. God's work is always good. But we need to be revealed to ourselves as a creation greater than we ever imagined. A creation in the Holy Spirit, who you will receive today. Our hearts are formed to become hearts that serve. Our knowledge of our own history is incomplete. And as the fullness came to be with that Spirit breathing on the waters at the beginning of creation, your fullness starts today. The tragedy today is that so many people, maybe even you, have decided that what we already know is all there is and find it lacking. Or maybe we find it too much. So some walk away from the faith, away from hope, and away from love. Of course our knowledge is incomplete because we don't know everything. It is the first of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, knowledge. But when we own that knowledge, it becomes understanding. Oh, there's another gift of the Holy Spirit. Applied to daily experiences, it becomes wisdom, another gift of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom shared is counsel, another gift of the Holy Spirit. Out of that community, once wisdom is shared, community is born, and out of that community, our family strength is fortitude. And we are able to recognize what is sacred around us, piety, and the completely otherness and holiness of God. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, will be sent to inform us of all we know. This was a promise of Jesus himself. My brother became a priest because he realized that the more science we know, there is ever so much more we can't explain. I myself became a priest because, as a fine art painter, I realized that there is a spark that makes a person a Michelangelo or a Beethoven. I am profoundly aware of what we are about to do. As the delegate of Bishop Burbidge during this time of pandemic, what it means to be celebrating this sacrament and participating in your receiving the Holy Spirit, I want you to be keenly aware as well of what is about to happen. The moment is a moment of fulfillment, a moment of new beginning. You will be newly created by the Holy Spirit. Created and restored, but also divinized in a way, united in Christ with his Spirit, we enjoy the humanity of our creation and the divinity of Jesus. The breath you breathe, the words you speak, will now have a new identity. It is difficult during this time of the pandemic, so let the Holy Spirit help you. Hone your intellects to the truth. Sharpen your memory to recognize the goodness of the Lord in all areas of your life. Strengthen your will to choose what is good over what is evil. Do the right thing. Dedicate yourselves with a new commitment to believe in what is still unknown, yet to be discovered, to hope even if the odds might seem insurmountable, to love as God continues to love us even when we are unlovable, to love even enemies, the forgotten, the lonely, and the poor, as we are. The time is now to live the Holy Spirit whom you are about to receive.